Today's daf in Masechet Megillah, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf tet. We're holding in the Halakha Mishnah at the bottom of Chet Omud Beit. And we're continuing the saga of Ein Bein. Ein Bein Sefarim Letfilin Umizuzot. There's no difference between the dinim that have to do with writing Sifrei Torah or Sifrei Nevi'im and Ksuvim, what gives them a din of a Sefer that is kosher. It's the Pashtus. We'll see, it's not quite clear what it's referring to, but we'll wait till we get to the Gemara. And the dinim of Tefillin and Mezuzas, and the Ktav of Tefillin and Mezuzas, Ela Sha'as Sefarim Deklavim B'chol Lashon. You're allowed to write kosher Sifrei Kodesh, Mashma Sifrei Torah, Sifrei Nevi'im, in any language that you want. Whereas tefillin and mezuzahs are only kosher if they're written in Ashurit. So they have to be written both in the Ktav Ashurit that we have, and also in the language of Lashon HaKodesh, which is written Ashurit. You'll recall we spoke about the Machlokes Rishonim, according to the Ritva, the original language of the Sefer Torah, the Luchos, and so on, everybody is made according to him that it was always Bashurit, and then it was changed to Ktav Ivri in order to protect the Kedusha of the Ktav. And then Ezra reinstituted that we should go back to utilizing, and that was, of course, part of the whole Purim change, and this may well be part of the reason why this is so important to establish over here, the issues of languages, which were so central to the Megillah, Me'asim V'sheva Medinot, and Am K'lashonom, we're going to darshan that today, about K'chtavam U'K'lashonam, that the reintroduction of K'tav Ashurit is also part of the entire idea of Purim's finding greater Kedusha and utilization of things that are behester, and they become open Megillahs, of course, to uncover and to expose that which is Mustar. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, not true. You're saying that all languages, it's not about all languages. It's only about Greek. And Af Bisfarim, Lo Yitiru Shiikatfu, Ela Yevanit. You're not allowed to write Sifrei HaKodesh in other languages unless it's Greek. Now we'll see what in the world that's about in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, okay, but then what it implies is that if it's a question of how to sew together the various parshios in the tefillin, if you wrote them on separate pieces of orot, that you would need to sew them specifically with gidim, and that's with sinews. You can't use like thread that's made out of linen or something. You need to use gidim of the animal. And as far as the dinim of letameyat ayadayim, that there's a halacha, remember, of the yud ches dvarim, that they are metame yadayim. When it comes to tumas yadayim, it would be exactly the same. Zeh v'zeh shavim, that both tefillin, mezuzahs, and Sifrei Torah all make your hands tameh for truma. And this was also, remember, instituted as part of the protection of them, because otherwise they would store them together with truma, because they would say the both are kodesh, that would cause rats to damage the Sifrei Kodesh. Now, there's a bit of a problem over here, because lichora, when it comes to mezuzahs, there should be no din of tefira beginning. Although Rashi says it would be true of mezuzot as well, namely that if, in fact, you wrote a mezuzah on two separate pieces of parchment, and then you tied them together, if you sewed them together with gidim, then it would be kosher. However, the Rambam says if you wrote the mezuzah on two separate pieces of parchment, it would not be kosher, no matter what you did. So therefore, the part about the tov from begidim is irrelevant to mezuzot. Mezuzot are included over here in this statement because of the tameyat hayadayim, according to the Rambam, but have nothing to do with tvira. There's no tvira when it comes to mezuzas. Now, the Gemara says, Svarim can be written in any language that you want. Is that true? What do you do with the Braisa? Mikra sheketavo targum. Suppose you wrote something that was meant to be in Lashon HaKodesh, and you wrote it in Aramaic, or it was something that was written in Aramaic, and you wrote it in Lashon HaKodesh, or if you wrote Ktav Ivri, so you kept it in the same language, but you wrote it in a different Ktav, the old Ivri script. Eino mitame et hayadayim, ad shiyichtavenu b'ktav ashurit al ha-sefer u'bidyo. It will not be mitame yadayim, meaning that it does not have the kedusha of a sefer, unless it is only in ktav ashurit, and that means that if it's written in a different language, it's not kosher. And our Mishnah says that it can be written in any language. So what's going on? And we're taking for granted that the issue of whether a sefer is mitameit hayadayim and whether it has a kedusha of a sefer are completely interrelated. If it has the kedusha of a sefer, so then it will be mitameit hayadayim as part of the Yud Ches Dvarim. Omar Rava, well, we could be talking about two completely different issues. Maybe in our Mishnah we're talking about where we used ktav ashurit. And basically what we did was, is we transliterated. So we wrote it in Aramaic, but we utilized ktav ashurit. Basha'inkin in the Brisa, where it says it does not have kedusha, and it is not metame yaseyadayim because of that, that's talking about that you wrote it in other script. Now that would mean that Rava would have to have a whole different approach to what the Brisa is talking about. Because the Brisa seems to be talking about two different issues. He says if you put it Lashon HaKodesh into Aramit, Targum, or you put Targum into Lashon HaKodesh, and Ktav Ivri, right? It's a Ktav Ivri, we understood, is a completely different issue. Here, he has to refer to one thing, because he's saying that there's a difference, then Bryce is only passing because it's also in a different Ktav. So therefore, you'll have to understand that when it says that he changed the Lashon HaKodesh to Hebrew, to Aramaic, it means that he also changed the Ketav, because he's saying, Begufin Shelahem, if it's written in their script, in Aramaic script, okay? Only there is it possible. Omale Abaye, excuse me, but you've got a problem over here, says Abaye to Rava, because you're learning that the Brice is talking about Dafka, where it was written in a foreign script, in foreign characters, right? Begufin Shelahem. So then, if that's true, then it should be puzzle without changing the language. Changing the script alone should be enough to say it's puzzle. Because my Aira Mikra Shikatavo Targum Vitargum Shikatavo Mikra. Why would the Brisa talk about a case first before it talks about changing the script? It says if you change the language. You don't need to change the language because the din we said was Afilu Mikra Shikatavo Mikra. Even if it's written in the correct language, but you put it into a different character set, or Targum Shikatavo Targum Nami should be possible, because the Brisa said in the end, Achiyachtavu Ashurit ala Sefer Bidyo, which means that it has to be written in Ktav Ashurit. So it makes no sense what you're saying, because you're telling me that it's only going to be possible if both the language and the script is changed. So that can't be the answer. Okay, so how do we explain the contradiction in the Braita? And the Lokasha. It's very simple. The Mishnah, which it says over here, it's kosher even in other languages. That's certainly correct. That's true according to the Rabbona. But the Braita, which says that it's not true, and that only Lashon HaKodesh is kosher, and only Ktav Ashurit is kosher, that's true only according to Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. And remember that in the Mishnah, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel actually argued. And he says it wouldn't be kosher. Excuse me. Yes, he does argue about other languages but Greek, but he says that Greek is okay. And over here it says in other languages, even including Greek, it can't be Reb Shimon ben Gamliel either. Because Reb Shimon ben Gamliel ha'ika yevanit, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says beferish that you can write a Sefer Torah in Greek. So then that would mean that if the Braita says it's only kosher, bedavka, if it's in Lashon HaKodesh and in Ktav Ashurit, then that can't be Reb Shimon ben Gamliel either. So now it's nobody. According to the Rabbanan, what it says in the Braita isn't true, because according to the Rabbanan, it's absurd to mention the change in the language and the script, where just changing the characters would be enough to postulate. So Who's it going according to? Ella Lokash. Okay. You're right. What we'll have to say is that in the Mishnah, we're talking about Dafka Sifrei HaKodesh, and in the Braita, we're talking about Tefillin and Mezuzot, and those are special. They have to be in Lashon HaKodesh, and that's true, even according to the Mishnah. They have to be in Lashon HaKodesh, and they have to be in Ktav HaShurit, which is basically what the Mishnah said. It says the difference between the Sfarim and Tefillin and Mezuzahs is that the Tefillin and Mezuzahs can't be written in anything but Ktav HaShurit and Lashon HaKodesh. Why would that be true? That we would be more machmer on the Tefillin and the Mezuzot than... I see you're taking also Sesame Street very seriously over there. What's going on around here? Everybody's got something they're tuning into, and they're not sharing it with me. I mean, all you got to do is send me a link on WhatsApp. Then we can be there together. Anyway, so what do we do with the reason? What is the possible reason to be more machman on Tefillin and Mezuzot? Says the Gemara, it's very simple. By Tefillin and Mezuzot, remember, it says, V'hayu ha-devarim ha-eleh. V'hayu always means it cannot be changed. Remember, V'hayu is that existential word that means B'havayatan Yehu, that any change represents an existential change and therefore is Be'etzem. It's possible because it's not the thing that I'm talking about. We don't find that the Lashon of V'hayu would ever apply to anything but what you put on your head and your hands and your doors, because that's what it says. You've got advarim ha'elu have to be on your head, your hands, and your doors. Okay, so that's dafka chumra. Wait a second. You're telling me that if you wrote your tefillin and mezuzah using Aramaic words for Hebrew, okay, that I understand, using Hebrew words for Aramaic, go ahead, show me. Show me one Aramaic word that you've got in your tefillin and mezuzahs, and then I'll believe it. How can it be referring to tefillin and mezuzahs? Because my targum shikatavo mikraika, there is no targum. I mean, in the Torah, there's targum, yes. In the Torah, we find, let's say, for instance, Lavan calls this gal'ed yegar sahaduta. So suppose you write cigar, yegar sahaduta, suppose you write it in Hebrew. Okay, so then we're saying that it would be possible. But in the tefillin and in a mezuzah, there is no targum. So my targumika. I didn't think of that. Okay, so we're not talking about the difference between tefillin and mezuzahs and svarim. Okay, so what's the difference between the Mishnah and the Braita? Okay, I'll tell you. Look, Asher, what might be talking about in the Braita is the Megillas Esther. That's the point. So it's true that a Megillat Esther must be written specifically in Lashon HaKodesh and in the Ktav Ashurit, and otherwise it would not be Mitame Et Hayadayim. Now this is already a little bit of a change in approach, because as Tosis points out, we're going to be seeing in the second parak that if you write a Megillah in Russian for a Russian speaker, then that is kosher for him. And here it's saying it's not Mitame Et Hayadayim unless it would be written in Lashon HaKodesh and in Ktav HaShurit. Now, how are we supposed to square those two things? So Tosfos says that even though our initial assumption was that the kashrus of the Megillah would instantly affect the din of Tumas Yadayim, that was like our pinat ha'yesod of the whole discussion here, because we never proved anything other than it's not Matamis Yadayim, and we always took that to mean that therefore it's not Nitam Likatev in that language and so on. Tosfos says there must be two different dinim. There's one halacha of Tumat Yadayim. Tumat Yadayim is only where it is the universal kashrus of that sefer. Since the Megillah was given to be written in Russian only for Russian speakers, and if you read it in Russian to someone who is not specifically a Russian speaker, then he wouldn't be Yotzei. Therefore, the din of Tumat Yadayim that there were gozer and yuches dvorim was only on universally kosher sfarim, not just the kind of sfarim that you can use in the Beit HaKnesset to be yotzei a particular mitzvah. So that would mean that there were really two different dinim in the Megillas Esther. There's a Megillas Esther, which has the Kedusha of the Kisveh HaKodesh, and which you read from. And then there's a Megillas Esther, which the Chachomim gave you Rishus to write down in order to read, which, remember, is very similar to the way Tosfos understood originally the question of a Nitna Likrot v'no Nitna Liktov, whereas Rashi learned that it means that you can say Megillat Esther if you held that it didn't have Kedusha. So then you weren't, if, when we originally said, right, the V'katavtilach Shelishim and the Machlokas Tanoim. So Rashi says that means you have to say it Baal Peh. So he says, of course, it doesn't mean you have to say it Baal Peh. It means that the Rabbanan allowed you to write it down for reading, but it did not have dinim of a sefer. So if that's the case, this would be similar to what Tosfos says over there. There's a different type of halacha for Purim, where the Rabbanan created something to read from. And remember that it's called an igeret. That may be one of the reasons that it's called an igeret. Igeret HaPurim. Because one aspect of the igeret HaPurim is that it's meant to be noticeable and read as a separate piece, which we'll see later on. But this other aspect is that we specifically refer to some element of the Megillah which does not fit the general requirement of the Sefer. So it's not like other Sforim. And here we're talking about specifically that aspect of the Megillah that does have the Kedusha of the Sefer, and that has to be only in the original Lashon HaKodesh and in Ketav HaShurit Mashenkein. The Mishnah that says that you're allowed to write it in other languages, it's referring to all other Sforim other than the Megillah Esther. And why would there be a difference between the Megillah Esther and others for Megillah Ma'ataima? Because in the Megillah it says Kichtavam Vechilushonam, which means that in the Megillah specifically, it's makbid that for the Yehudim it has to be Kichtavam Vechilushonam, and therefore that's reflected in the Kedusha of the Megillah itself. It has to be written in the Ketav of the Yehudim and in the Lashon of the Yehudim. So, wait, you said that I can write Targum. If I write Targum as Mikra, it's Pasul. Why? There isn't any, is there? Am I missing something? Rav Papa, sure there is. Sure. It's just what happened is that you've gotten so used to this language as having been incorporated in Hebrew that you think it's Hebrew, but it isn't Hebrew. For instance, Vinishma Pitgam HaMelech. You think Pitgam is a Hebrew word, because every little child uses the word Pitgam today, right? So Pitgam is like a saying, a dibur. So you thought that it's Hebrew, but it isn't. Vinishma Pitgam HaMelech is actually a Persian word, an Aramaic word, and it was incorporated in the Megillah. So if you would write Vinishma Divar HaMelech instead of Pitgam HaMelech, so then we're saying that you would parcel it. The obvious question is how you could parcel it, as Tosis points out, and Rashi also discusses elsewhere. How could you parcel it if a Megillah that is missing words is still kosher? So Rashi says that it's worse to write the wrong words than to leave out words. Tosis says that when it says it's parcel, doesn't mean it's parcel for this alone. It means that we could add this to a list of psulim if we had rov, or it means it's possible in the sense that you're supposed to be mitakenet. It doesn't mean you can't read from it. Anyway, so that would be an example. I'll give you another example of a word that you think is Hebrew, and it isn't Hebrew. V'chol anashim yitnu yikar l'ba'alehem. The word for yikar in this context in Hebrew is kavod, and the word yikar is therefore Persian, and it is a change of language. If you would write Yitnu Kavod L'Ba'aleihem, that would be an example of taking Targum and writing it in Lashon HaKodesh. So that's one answer to the difference between the Mishnah and the Braita. Rav Ashi Amar, Ki Tanya Hayi, the Braita was talking about totally something else. It's talking about Nevi'im and Ksuvim. It wasn't talking about a Sefer Torah. And it's going Aliba to Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda has his shita in what Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel said, the Tanya. Because we couldn't get away with saying the difference was between Sfarim, because it says languages, and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel said it would be kosher in Greek, and the Braita is saying it won't be kosher in any other language. So we had a problem with saying it's Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. But now that we find a shita in Rabbi Yehuda, who talks about Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel as a special case, now it works out. Because if you're going in the Braita Aliba the Rebbe Yehuda Shita in Rebbe Gamliel. Take a look at this, the Tanya. Tfilinu mizuzot ein nichtavin ela ashurit. And Rabotenu hitiru yivanit. Our rabbis, referring to Reb Shimon ben Gamliel here, were mater Greek. Wait a minute. Nobody is mater Greek for tefillin and mezuzos. What are you talking about? We brought a pasuk before and we said, v'hayu means b'havayatanyahu, and you certainly cannot write in Greek. So what are you saying? Sorry, I made a mistake. I meant, svarim nichtavim b'chol lashon, v'rabotenu itiru yevanit. Not tefillin and mezuzos. You can write any language, and Reb Shimon ben Gamliel said, no, you can only write one other language, which is Greek. Huh? No. That doesn't make sense either. What do you mean, hitiru? What does that mean, rabotenu hitiru? What, the Tanakama answers it? The Tanakama says everything is mutter. I meant rabotenu lo hitiru ela yevanit. That's the point. Not hitiru yevanit, where you answer. You were mater all languages. Rabotenu, meaning Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, he was matir only one other language, which is Greek. Okay, fine. So far, it's not Nogea. Now let's read the next piece, Vitanya. And then it says, Amar Rebbe Yehuda, even when our Rebbe, meaning Reb Shimon Gamliel, was matir Yevanit, he was only matir Yevanit in a Sefer Torah, but he was not matir Yevanit for Nevi'im and Ksuvim. So therefore, if the Braita is talking about other Sfarim, now it makes perfectly good sense. I'll leave it to Reb Shimon Gamliel. Because it's true, your original question was, how can it be Reb Shimon Gamliel? Reb Shimon Gamliel is mater Greek, and over here it says it's not mater any other language. Because the only time that Reb Shimon Gamliel is mater Greek was Dafka in the Sefer Torah, and the reason that it was mutter is Bishum Ma'ased the Talmai HaMelech. That was because of the whole Maisa that happened with Ptolemy. And he translated, he had the Torah translated into Greek, and it was done, as we'll see, al pi ruach hakodesh. And therefore, they were matir writing the Sefer Torah in Greek, and they found a smach from the pasuk in the Torah itself, as we'll see. So now, I mean, this whole issue, by the way, is very, very unclear. Where does it come from? This question of not being able to write a Torah in other languages and so on. And does it indeed imply that you're not allowed to make translations of the Torah, according to the Chachamim? I mean, the Ramban says that, yes, that's absolutely true. You can't just go ahead and translate into art scroll. You have to use the Targum only of Unklus. We can't say, just take any old Targum, somebody decides the living Torah, and he's going to put out a new translation of the Torah. That's an Isser Gomer. Whereas the Ran Tainas, that doesn't make any sense. We have all of the other targumim that are used in other languages where people don't understand it. Why would that be usher? So what is all of this revolving around? And in fact, the Chazon Ish says, obviously the Ramban agrees that you can write targumim and that we're misunderstanding what he's saying. So what it's talking about is this. Be'etzem, the way that Chazon Ish learns, and there are other approaches, the way the Chazon Ish learns is that this entire halacha of writing the Torah in another language is essentially a din in kovod Torah. And that because of the fact that this is the way it was given, to say that you have the ability to give over the multi-layered meanings of the Torah because you're writing your own little book about the way you see the Torah it's outrageous. However, from the time that we were matir writing down Torah Shebaal Peh, why did we do that? Because of Eit La'asot La'Hashem, Heferu Torah Techa. That included whatever was necessary for people to be able to learn Torah. Now, since at that scattering, as the Rambam explains in his Hakadoma, that led to the heter of Ketiva of Torah Shebaal Peh, note, by the way, again, how central the Purim experience is to all of this. And that it's part of the tikkun of the Anshei Knesset HaGdela, which we saw as the beginning, really, of the story of writing down Torah Shebaal Peh and of the development of Torah Shebaal Peh. Remember that when we start discussing the Mishnah in Avos of the Mesira of Torah Shebaal Peh, it begins, of all crazy places, it begins with the Shiore Anshei Knesset HaGdela. And up until that time, the Mesira has nothing to say. Moshe Rabbeinu was mekabel Torah, gives it to Yeshua, Yeshua does it came, and they had nothing to say to their generation until B'shiyori anshei k'neses ha'gdoila and Shimon HaTzadik? I mean, like, how is that? So this is part of the other new approach to the world that Purim began, which is the Hein Gvuratav. And the anshei k'neses ha'gdoila were called the anshei k'neses ha'gdoila because of the fact that they made Hakel HaGadol HaGibor Vahanora. They put it back into the Shemoneh Esrei, as we'll see. Okay, so all of this issue of what does language contain and how many layers of meaning are there in language, and are all those interrelated layers part of the Torah Shebiktav, or are they part of the Torah Shebaal Peh, or are they an integrated aspect of Ktav Baal Peh? It all comes out here in this Masechet, which is deeply connected throughout to language, to character sets of language, and to the way in which you're allowed to read for the public from that language, all of which is part of this din. So therefore, when we begin our foray into this issue, as the Chazon Ish says, obviously the Ramban agrees that ex post facto, once it is that there is a Eis Lasos L'Hashem, so certainly in the same way that you're allowed to write down Torah Shebaal Peh, you are allowed to give a translation of Torah Shebiktav. The only thing that he and the Ran were arguing about, where the Ran says it doesn't make any sense, and you should be able to translate, is where the translation does not include anything but a simple word-for-word literal translation, and therefore it is not kelel, any of the inyanim of the Torah Shebaal Peh that was there. There the Ramban holds that unless it's being done for someone who cannot learn otherwise, it should be usher, because it's not giving over any of the inside meanings of things. And therefore, you're not allowed to stam translate, which the Ran says. Even stam literal translations are necessary for the first fundamental level of meaning on a child's level. And why wouldn't that be okay if people can't learn without it? And therefore, art scroll should be mutter. Okay, so this is the machlokas according to the Chazon Ish, but it would mean that certainly a certain amount of care, such as the cases that they talk about, is what about a goyish translation, where there was no heter to translate for goyim, and now you have a copy of that translation. Are you able to save that from a dleika on Shabbos? Is that considered to be a safer? Or is that able to just be left to burn and you could throw it out in the garbage and it doesn't require geniza because there was never a heter for the goyim to write it? Now, those things would be very nogei l'halacha. And a lot of the old, the old books that people spend a lot of money on and that are kept with a great level of care and so on actually wouldn't be allowed to be saved from the dleika, according to this, because there was never a heter to write them down, and they are a violation of the Kavod HaTorah in exactly the same way that we saw the 3 days of Choshech that came from even the translation that was done al pi Ruach HaKodesh of the story of Ptolemaeus. Fine. Anyway, here's the Maisa, the Tanya. The Maisa Shaya was like this. Ma'aseh b'talmai ha-melech shekinei shivim u'shnayim zikinim. Now, he gathered together 72 leading Chachomim of Sanhedrin and put them in isolation in 72 different rooms. They had no opportunity to discuss anything with each other. And when he brought them together, he gave them no clue as to why he's bringing them together. Logi lelehem al ma kinsan. He went into each one of these chachomim individually, and he said to each one of them, Kitvuli Torat Moshe Rabchem, I want you to write me in Greek a translation of the Torah. Now, he was hoping to discover ways in which he could point out to them the contradictions between their translations and things in those translations that he would be able to show that the Torah is false, and then, or that it insults the goyim or whatever, or as we'll see, or that it was sexist, or that it was actually, there were elements of Avodah Zarah in it, or that there's bad things about the Jews in it. We're going to go through the things that they actually had to change because they understood his purposes in this. And because of that, it was a special requirement to be matzil the Kavod HaTorah, and this is the Kavod HaTorah, therefore. Natana Kadosh Baruch Hu b'leif kol echad v'echad etza. So this is the classic situation of game theory, right? So you take the people, you put them into different rooms. Now the other person has to figure out what the other person is going to do and utilize that in order to establish, okay, well, what do I do now? So this game theory, actually, that was the Nobel Prize that what's his name won was Gufa, Dr. Oman, won. He actually used to be with us in California, right? He was with us in Kerem. So his kids went to Kerem, but so this is what he worked on. So he worked on game theory. And the chances of they're all coming out with the same translation, of course, they're like infinitesimal. But in terms of Ruach HaKodesh, what happened was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave each of them in their hearts the understanding that they would all have the same Lashon HaKodesh, all the same Ruach HaKodesh for Lashon HaKodesh, and they ended up writing the exact same translation. Miskimu kulam ledat achat. They analyzed precisely where it was that there was a danger of making a simple translation, and they changed it. So here's the things that they changed. Instead of translating Bereshit Bara Elohim into Greek, they turned it into Elohim Bara Bereshit into Greek. Because they understood, there's a Machlokas Rashi Tosfos, why they felt they had to do that. Because Rashi says if it would write Bereshit Bara Elohim, then they would think that Bereshit is the name of a god that created the god. So the god Bereshit was Bara Elohim. Tosfos Tain is that, I mean, if Bereshit were a name for God, it would be a problem. But if the word Bereshit just means in the beginning, and all they wrote in Greek was in the beginning, how would you think that in the beginning is a God? That's a little weird. So Tosis learns that the pshat is that since the norm would be, if you're talking about creation, it should be God created, not in the opposite order, Bereshit Bara Elohim. So therefore, they would think that on the basis of the order alone, there is this primal God that is called in the beginning. So therefore, they had to change it. They changed something else. Instead of writing Na'aseh Adam B'Tzalmenu, they wrote E'aseh Adam B'Tzelem U'Bidmut. Okay, so therefore, there is no Bezdin, Shomal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to, and there's also not a personal shape to God, which is what they want. You see that God has a shape. He must have a body. Yes, indeed. Pieta. Okay. So therefore, they changed that too. And Vayechal Elohim Bayom Hashishi. Vayishbot Bayom Hashivi'i. They also changed. So instead of saying Vayechal Bayom Hashivi'i, he would say, so you see that God works on Shabbos. Right? Because that says Vayechal Bayom Hashivi'i. So they wrote Vayechal Bayom Hashishi, Vayishbot Bayom Hashivi'i. And they understood that no amount of explaining what that is of any of these things and how important they are to Adi was not going to accept any of that. And they wrote, instead of saying Zachar Nekeva Bira'am, they wrote Zachar Nekeva Bira'o. Why this was so important and they all understand how important it was is astonishing. What's the difference if he thinks that there was a separate male-female creation or if there was a single Adam who was both male and female? There's a lot of discussion of Ben Ish Chai as a whole piece on this, but this is certainly like to figure out that that's going to be such a problem that you have to change it. Isn't that something? Amazing. Then they wrote, Hava Erda ve'evlasham sifatam, because if we would have said Hava Nerda ve'evlasham, so then once again, they're not going to accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a Bezdin. It was the gods that spoke together, undoubtedly. So they changed that. And then, because of sexism, they had to change Vatitzchak Sarah. Instead of saying Bikirba, they changed it to Vatitzchak Sarah Bikroveha. Because otherwise they say, oh, yeah, the whole thing is sexist, old-fashioned. God took it out on Sarah. Avram does exactly the same thing. And since he's male, you know, God is only interested in males. So they had to change it so it became that Sarah went around talking about it and laughed. See how stupid it is. They're actually saying, I'm going to have a baby. Fine. And then about the Achim, So when he says Shimon v'Levi Achim, they changed it to Ki ba'apam hargu shor instead of Ki ba'apam hargu ish, because then they said, you see, even their father says they're murderers, and what they did in Shechem was murder. Masha Enkein, if he changed it to shor, it was because, well, they were all basically animals because they weren't Mekayim, the inyanim of the Arayas. And ba'apam ikru evos. So they uprooted the feeding trough instead of saying akru shor. And they also wrote, instead of saying vaykach Moshe et ishto ve'et banav, vayarkivem al hachamor, instead they wrote, this is the first Pentagonese that was ever exposed in the Torah in a translation. They wrote, they put it on people carrying vehicles. So I don't know, that could mean anything, right? So it wasn't a lie, because the chamor is definitely a people carrying vehicles. But, you know, at least Tolmi could figure it was maybe a Porsche instead of a chamor. So the pashtus is that, you know, they would tiny the going, what, your Moshe Rabchem had nothing to ride on but a chamor. He couldn't ride on a gamal or something. But, I mean, others bring that there was a, we've all pointed out how strange it is that they keep talking about chamorenu, right? Anu ves chamorenu, and they're going to take our chamor, and then we have the mitzvah, peter chamor, and like, what is this chamor jazz? So there was this whole myth that the Jews actually worship the chamor. And in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, they have the head of a chamor that they worship. And so some taina that it was in order to take that away that they changed it to people carriers. And then they changed the Moshav B'nei Yisrael Asher Yashvu B'Mitzrayim. They added the words Ubishar Aratzot Arba Meot Shana, because it was so obviously not the case. Because even if you add up all of the years of those that came down to Mitzrayim, you've got Levi and Kahat and Amram and Moshe, you don't come out with 400 years. And that's not, obviously, you can't add them all up because the years of the generations are subsumed one in the other to a great extent. So they had to write in the years of Mitzrayim plus other lands. So that way it would be clear that we're counting from the time of Ger Yabez Zaracha starting now, because it's Eretz Lo Lahem. And instead of saying Vayishlachet Nare B'nei Yisrael, they wrote Vayishlachet Za'atute B'nei Yisrael, and they wrote Ve'el Za'atute B'nei Yisrael Lo Shalach Yado, to keep it the same, instead of writing Ve'el Atzile B'nei Yisrael. Now, the problem over here, according to Rashi, the problem is that they wanted to avoid them saying that you didn't want to send out your choshevah citizens to be mekabel l'pnei hashchina, and therefore you sent out kids, na'arei b'nei Yisrael. But again, others of the mefarshim say, listen, we're talking about Greece. To send out the boys has a very sexual connotation in Greece. So because of that, if it would have said v'yishlach na'arei b'nei Yisrael, they would have said, everybody's sending out his favorite boyfriend. That's what they sent up to be Mekabel Torah. Because of that, they changed it to Zatute. But the question is, of course, why not just keep it Atzile? Atzile B'nei Yisrael means the noble. So if the end of the pasuk, at the end of the parasha, is talking about Vel Atzile B'nei Yisrael Lo Shalach Yado, so then why can't you just utilize the nobleman word in Greek for Atzile instead of substituting for both of them the Zatute? So Tosfos says, because Za'atute does have a double meaning. It can mean the choshva ones, but can also mean the young ones. So because of that, they didn't want to lie if it wasn't necessary, so they used a word that had a double meaning, which also maintained the original meaning of na'are. So, but in order to keep it even, they changed it also, instead of saying Velatzile b'nei Yisrael, they changed it to Ve'el Azatute b'nei Yisrael. And then when Moshe was saying, I never even took a single chamor. Oh, yeah, there we go with the chamor again. So they had to change that too, because otherwise they say, you didn't take a chamor, but you did take an awful lot of diamonds and Porsches, right? So they changed it to lo chemed echad mehem nasati. I haven't even taken anything that anybody would want. And then in the pasuk Asher Chalak Hashem Elokecha L'Chol Ha'Amim, there it's talking about worshiping idols, and it says you're gonna look up, you're gonna see the stars and the sun and the moon that I gave out to all of the other nations. Mashma, that all of the other nations are allowed to worship Avodah Zarah. So therefore, it wrote instead of Chalak Hashem Elokechotam, they put in the word Lahair for purposes of light. And they also changed Vayelech Vayavod Elohim Acherim Asher Lo Tziviti. They added in the word Asher Lo Tziviti Lo Avdam. Because it was Asher Lo Tziviti. They said, you see, you never asked that these other gods brought out, so they must have created themselves. So these are alternative gods. So therefore, I never said to worship these gods. That's what it means. And they also had to change. Now, this was a serious problem because the early Hugh Hefner production at the time of Ptolemy was the bunny. The bunny was, of course, already the Playboy bunny. And he, Ptolemy, obviously, had married the bunny. So his wife's name was Bunny. So now they could not possibly translate the Arnevet as a bunny, because then Ptolemy would have said, I can't believe it. They've thrown me into the Torah just to make fun of me. Right? So they had to change the word for bunny into the small-handed one, because bunnies have smaller hands than feet. It's one of the strange shapes, right? So because of that, instead of writing the bunny, they wrote the Tzirot Haraglayim instead of the word for Arnevet, because Talmai's wife was, of course, bunny. So Ibnesha Ishto Shel Talmai was called bunny. And then he would have said, Shelo Yomru, Sachakupi Ayudim, Vitilu Shem Ishti Batorah. They're making fun of me. You know, they're saying that's not kosher. Bunnies aren't kosher because of that. They had to change it. That's like absolutely wild. But as you see, it's got a long history. Anyway, so the Mishnah says, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, Aimer, Afisram lo itiru shikatfu, ela yevanit. And that's how we pask. Omre Bebo, Omre Yochanan, indeed we paskin like Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, and in fact we actually do paskin like Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, but it's not nogea, because as the Rambam says, that Lashon Yevanit, that was the Attic Greek, is no longer known, and even what passes for Attic Greek is completely mishubash. People have lost track of its real... Ira? Is that purposeful, or you're just... Sorry. Okay. So, therefore, the Greek that we have nowadays, says the Rambam, is no different than any other language, and because of that, you cannot use Reb Shimon ben Gamliel as an excuse to write your Sefer Torah in Greek. Om Rebbe Abo, Om Rebbe Yochanan, Aloch Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, V'Om Rebbe Yochanan, where is the basis of Reb Shimon ben Gamliel to say that we were matir Greek? That's because on our cross, it says beferish in the pasuk, Yavta Elohim liyefet, v'yishkon bo Hashem. So in other words, the Shekhinah will only be shochein in the Beis HaMikdash, which is the olim that are made by the children of Shem, which is Yisrael. But the Yavta Elohim, that goes to Yefet. What does that mean? It puts them together. The Yavta Elohim of Yefet belongs in the Ohel HaShem. So it should go into the Ohel HaTorah and the Ohel HaTefillah. It belongs with Klal Yisrael's Ohelim. So that must be the Greek Sefer Torah. Wait a minute. Yefet's got an awful lot of kids. I mean, how in the world does it mean? I mean, Yovan happens to be one of them. Maybe it's Gomer. Maybe it's Magog. I mean, Omer B'chir Barava. No, you don't understand. The Yaft Elohim has a double meaning. It doesn't only mean to be expanded. Yaft means beautiful. So Yaft Elohim LeYefet means the most beautiful product of Yefet. And what's the most beautiful product of Yefet is the Greek language. And therefore, it's got to be referring to Yafyuto Shel Yefet. That's Greek. And that should belong in Ohel HaShem. And now it is time for a special word from our Kapitan. Well, it's for our semi-somnolent Kapitan, but maybe a drink would help, or some cold water. Ein bin koin mashuach b'shemen ha-mishcha le-meruba begadim ela par haba al kol ha-mitzvot. Now, you will remember that originally all of the Kohanim were meshuchim with the shemen ha-mishcha that Moshe Rabbeinu made. But then came along the time in which the Aron HaBris was hidden by Yoshiyahu, and along with it were hidden all of those things that had been kept there, which included the Shemen HaMishka. Now there was no more Shemen HaMishka. However, since the Torah is marva that a Kohen who was changed from the Arba Begadim into the Shmoni Begadim, that's Bechanechem is a Kohen Gadol, so he also has a din of a Kohen Gadol, and in fact, it's the same Kedusha except for one thing, the Par Haba al Kol HaMitzvot. So then that means the Kohen Gadol is allowed to do all of the things that a Kohen Gadol does, other than the very special Im HaKohen HaMashiach Yecheta. That's only the Kohen HaMashiach. So if he does a chet, meaning he makes a ta'ut in the psak halacha, and it's something that is an Isser Karas, and he follows his own psak halacha and does it, over there he doesn't bring a normal chatas, he brings a special par, which is brought only by a Kohen Gadol. Since it says par Kohen HaMashiach Yecheta, a normal Kohen Gadol, Bizman, the second Beis HaMikdash, didn't have the Shemen HaMishka, would not be able to bring that part. Ein ben Kohen Mishamesh l'Kohen Shavar. Now, there's another interesting problem, and that is, it's possible to have a state in which you have two Kohen Gadols. Because what happens is, we had back in Yuma, if a psul happens to the Kohen Gadol, then the Sgan takes over. And if that Sgan takes over, then he does all of the things that a Kohen Gadol does. So he has a din of a Kohen Gadol. And what happens when the original Kohen Gadol becomes kosher again? So then what happens is that that Sagan cannot go back to being a Kohen Hedyot, as we'll see, because Malin Bekodesh Velo Moridin, and therefore he is in a position of being also technically a Kohen Gadol. What is the difference between the current Kohen Gadol, who is actually now doing the Avoda, and a Kohen who had to be actually permanently removed? Is there a difference? The difference is the Par Yom HaKippurim. So to do the Avoda of the Par of Yom Kippur, where it says over there that he has to be bring that Par for himself, and he brings it with his own money, lo, asher lo, and that is that special halacha on Yom Kippur, and there's only one Asiris Ha'efa, which of course is referring to the special chavitim that is brought by the Kohen Gadol, and we'll see in the Gemara, there's only one that can be brought, and has to be brought by the active Kohen Gadol. Now, you say that le'inyan par Yom Kippurim v'Asiris Ha'efa, you said that the difference between the Kohen Gadol with the Kohen Mashiach, or Kohen Gadol with only the Shemoneh Begadim, is only benogea the Par HaBaal Kol HaMitzvahs. What about the Par Yom HaKippurim and the Asiris HaEfa, which is the difference between the Kohen who is currently working and the Kohen Shavar? What about that? That's not different. In other words, even a Kohen who was not Mashiach is still able to bring the Par Yom HaKippurim, and he brings also the Chavitim every single day. Zev is Zev Shavim. Okay, so that's very important to know. Now, but the problem is that when you say that you don't bring the Par HaBaal Kol HaMitzvot, that's not true according to everybody. It means that the Mishnah is not going on even to Rabbi Meir. Because according to Rabbi Meir, he says, Dafka Meruba Begodim, who is not Mashiach B'Shem HaMishka, is able to bring the Par HaBaal Kol HaMitzvot. So, apparently for Rabbi Meir, it's the Chachomim who say, Eino Mevi. Why does Rabbi Meir say it? Doesn't it say Par Kohen Mashiach? It says in the Torah, Im HaKohen HaMashiach. So where does Rabbi Meir get the right to expand the din of a Mashiach into a Meruba Begadim? Ah, here's the bright, the Tanya. Mashiach, Ein Li Ala Mashiach B'Shem HaMishcha. That would imply that only a Kohen who had the Shemana Mishka, how do we know even Meruba Begadim is included in bringing this par? Talmud Lomar, HaMashiach. So since it's talking about HaMashiach, which usually, obviously, Ha means Dafka, this one, and not the other one. However, over here, it becomes a Miut Achra Miut. And Ein Miut Achra Miut Ela lirabot, because it can't mean anything else. If it would say Parko Mashiach, there's always only one. So we have to say HaMashiach. So therefore, Emir HaChamir El Rabbis, according to Rabbi Meir, it is Davke Marbe, the Kohen, who is Merubah Begadim, to bring that part. But now we've got a problem. Because how are you learning the Mishnah that the Mishnah does not work out even a Rabbi Meir? Problem is that the last part of the Mishnah is only going according to Rabbi Meir. Because the last part of the Mishnah says, Ein ben kohen mishamish l'kohen sha'avar, ela par yom ha-kipurim v'asiri ta'ifa. But of all other inyanim, they are the same. So in other words, if he's going to be doing any aveda, he needs to wear shmoneh begadim. Because his aveda wouldn't be kosher without shmoneh begadim. He's going to get married. He can only marry a betulah because he has the din of a kohen gadol. If he becomes an avel, he's not allowed to tear his begadim. And so on and so forth. So all of those dinim are exactly the same, right? That's what you're saying. Only Rabbi Meir holds that, you see. Because, take a look at this bright, the Tanya. Yirabo psul, minu kohen achar tachtav. And then everything gets back to the way it was. So the first original kohen who was doing the avod of the kohen gadol, he goes back to his job, chuzer lavodato. And the second kohen, who is now forcibly retired, he's not the acting kohen gadol, but he still has all the mitzvahs kuna gedayla. You can't take away the fact that he has to marry a betulah. You can't take away the fact that he's not allowed to marry an almanah. He's got all the dinim of a kohen gadol, okay? So says Rabbi Meir. But Rabbi Yossi says, no, he does not. It's true what you said, that the first one is given back his position. However, the second one does not have a din of a kohen gadol. But he also doesn't have a din of a kohen adyot. So you can't allow him. So apparently he holds that in the same way that you can appoint a kohen gadol, you can disappoint a kohen gadol. Because look, it's dependent on the Beis Din to appoint the kohen gadol, right? So in this case, if I disappoint the kohen gadol, so then that means he doesn't have a din of a kohen gadol, and he can't wear his shmoneh begadim. And if he tried to do avoda in shmoneh begadim, he would parcel it. So you'll say, so if that's the case, so then why is he not a kohen hedyot? Oh, that we'll see in a moment. But I'll show, prove it to you, says Rabbi Yosef. It was actually once a maisa with Yosef ben Ulam, who came from Barnea's neighborhood in Sipori. And the kohen gadol in his generation had a problem one Yom Kippur, and they had to substitute this Yosef ben Ulam. They had to substitute him for the kohen gadol. And then when the kohen gadol came back, but what do we do now? And they said, Rishon Chozer La'avodah, and this poor Yosef ben Ulam is not roy to be either a Kohen Gadol or a Kohen Hedyot. He's not roy to be a Kohen Gadol because he's going to then create a situation of Eva, and then we have to take away that din from him. And he's not roy to be a Kohen Hedyot. Mishumalim b'kodesh v'lo moridin. It doesn't seem appropriate to allow a person who was once in the Madrega being a Kohen Gadol to work in Arba Begadim, so he can't do anything. So then that means the end of the Mishnah is only going according to Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir says he's entirely has all the dinim of the Kohen Gadol. And he can even wear Shmoneh Begadim. So that's not like anyone but Rabbi Meir, so make up your mind. The Reisha is saying it can't be like Rabbi Meir, it's only the Rabbanan. And the Seifa is saying it's only Rabbi Meir and not like the Rabbanan. Omrif Chista, well, what can you do? That's the reality. I mean, yes, must be that we recorded two different Tanoim here. Reish Rabbanan is Sefer Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yosef says, no, the Mishnah is neither. The Mishnah is going according to the Shitos of Rabbi himself. And Rabbi himself holds this. Nosiv la aliba de Tanoi, he actually holds according to different Tanoim. So Benogea, he holds like the Rabbanan. Benogea, the question of the Par Haba, I'll call on mitzvahs, and he holds like Rabbi Meir in terms of the mitzvahs of the Kohen Gedolah on the Kohen She'avar. Okay, now tomorrow we will get into all of the very exciting dinim of the historical development from Mishkan to Gilgal to Shiloh to Novi Givon to Yerushalayim, and what the dinim are of the different bamot during that period in which we had Nov and Givon and Gilgal, the difference between the Bama that the Tzibor brought and the Bama that every Yochid was allowed to bring during that time,